Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast. Tonight is going to be, listen, y'all, I know I say this every week, but I have an anticipation tonight for what the Holy Spirit's going to do. And so I want to ask everybody watching live and on the replay, how many of you know God can still touch you on the replay? Have an expectation. Don't just sit back listening and being like, oh, I'm just going to listen to Richard's story. Guys, tonight God's going to move. The Holy Spirit's going to do what he wants to do. How is it we serve a supernatural God but have zero expectation for the supernatural? I want you to have an expectation that God is going to move. And we have a powerful guest with us here, Richard Matthews. How are you doing, bro, today?
I'm great. Blessed and highly favored. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen.
Come on, man. I'm super excited to have you on. I saw you on Angela's podcast. I saw you on Pastor Mike's podcast. Shout out to Pastor Mike Signorelli. We love you. You are amazing, bro. We talk pretty much every day. He's one of my best friends. And then I saw you also on Lecrae's, and I'm like, bro, you are just on fire. I love listening to you talk. You have such great revelation and wisdom. And so I want you to know, man, I honor you today. I appreciate you being on, and it's going to be a great day. This is the day the Lord has made. We shall be glad and rejoice in it. I think that's how it goes. I almost forgot the scripture. So we're excited today. We're excited that God's going to move. We have breath in our lungs, and I want you guys to stay through that the entire broadcast. I already know that you have friends and family that are, many of you have friends and family living in that homosexual lifestyle that need to hear this testimony. This is a testimony of grace, of love, and of the power of God. So I want you to share this with your friends and family that are living that lifestyle. As Richard shares his testimony, it's powerful. And I also want to add, if God can do it for him, God can do it for them. And I know this, okay? It's not just him. If God can do it for me, I was an angry atheist cursing at God, bitter as could be, had every demon in the book, every demon you name, I had it on board. And the Lord delivered me. The Lord healed me and saved me. And so I know he can do it for your loved ones. It doesn't matter how far they are. It doesn't matter how lost they are. No one's too lost for God. Nobody's too bound for God. Every chain can break tonight in Jesus' name. Everyone can get saved tonight in Jesus' name. And so with all that, started watching your content, Richard. Saw you on TikTok. Saw you on YouTube. And I told you this before the call, but man, there is something I can't really put my finger on, but very, very special about what God is doing in your life. You just have a joy about you, a peace about you. You have such good revelations. And man, I'm honored to have you on. Thanks for being on today. We're going to have a great time just getting into your testimony. I want you to feel comfortable. If we want to go to another direction or you want to talk about something else, just feel the liberty today, because I think many people are going to be set free in this broadcast.
Yeah. I just also want to give honor and thanks as well to you, Isaiah, for, you know, just being who you are. I saw you at Breakers Conference at our conference last year from our church.
Come on.
You just started and you didn't finish until a lot of moments later and like one breath. So we just love you. We thank you. You and all the Demon Slayers have been a big and very impactful in my life. And I'm just thankful for my house and the brotherhood that you guys have. And so I just wanted to give honor and just, I'm excited today too. So definitely.
Awesome. Well, thank you, man, for that. I appreciate that. And I want to start with, I think there's a lot of people in the LGB, all that community. And I want to get flagged right as we start, but I'm always interested in the upbringing. How did they get to where they are? How did they get to be at the place they are? So let's start for you, because you do have such an incredible testimony, living, you know, a gay lifestyle for so many years, and the Lord bring you out. How was your upbringing? Were you raised in church? What kind of family were you raised in? Just so we can get some perspective on the testimony.
Yeah, every testimony is different and every story is different with its origins, but it all leads back up to the fall and obviously, you know, the earth. Just in this fallen sinful nature, you know, we just end up in sin. But my upbringing, I specifically grew up in church with my mom. You know, my dad had walked away at that point. I come from a single parent household with just my mom. I had an older brother, but we're 15 years apart. So by the time as I was starting to grow older, he, you know, left school and then he went into the Navy. And so I was kind of just by myself. But my mom and, you know, she always remembered that I would feel very lonely in talking about my father. He probably left when I was like around like 3, 4, or 5. Wow. And I still have never seen him. By the grace of God, I've forgiven him and I've spoken with him and sent a message. But if I would see him in the crowd, I wouldn't be able to tell if that was my father. Wow. I've never really had any male presence in my life. And as I grew up, though, my mom, she tried to, you know, put me in different activities, you know, while also still being in church. She served at the church. She was in choir. That's where I feel like a lot of my artistic giftings came from. My love for dance. I would see our praise team perform. We would do some plays that I would be in. So I grew up in the church literally going every day because they had rehearsal quite often. But, you know, a lot of the time when I was by myself, I was just bullied a lot. And so for me, the bullying was really the open door. I would be persecuted just simply for not having a father. And I would be, you know, my voice would be criticized. The way that I looked, the way that I stood, the way that I acted would be criticized. And so I grew up always in this weird, just this weird flux of like, why can't people accept me? Why can't people love me? You know, where's my father? I don't really have anyone to defend or protect me. There were times where I would like leave the classroom and just be by myself. There was one time the school had to call my mom because they couldn't find me. And I just went out hiding, you know, behind this like trailer, just crying. And that it was a hard time. But I think a lot of the extra activities that my mom put me in, you know, got me through it. You know, being a single parent household, she had to go to work. So I had to grow up fast. I had to do things by myself. I would say I was also fairly independent. And I would do football, I would do basketball. I didn't do baseball. That wasn't really my thing, but, and then I did soccer. But at the same time, my mom wanted to get me in a better school. We weren't really in a good neighborhood, not bad, but, she wanted to get me in a better school just for the bullying and for me to be in a better situation. And I ended up going to this performing arts school that we auditioned for. She saw my musical giftings, my artistic ability, and it was just sort of a win-win. You know, I'm a dancer, I'm an actor, I sing. But primarily as I went to school, I focused on dance. I left soccer, I left all my activities, and I really focused on the performing arts. But in that culture, you know, there's a lot of different expressions, people still trying to figure out and define what their identity is, ultimately coming down to this root of rejection and wanting to be accepted, but masking it with the arts and masking it with your career, masking it with performance, which is why, you know, I was sort of a perfectionist, which is no such thing. And it was just very critical of myself. And that's just negativity and having spoken word curses and coming against yourself. And then you spewing that over yourself. And so as I continued to grow, you know, I started to form, you know, crushes and everything. And then at the time I started to get into pornography, and pornography was really the door that was opened up for me. And the reason why I got into pornography, because throughout those years of bullying, I was called gay. And it was like, well, what does this word gay mean? You know what I'm saying? So since no one could really articulate and explain it to me, it was just bad. But it's like, okay, like, yes, it's bad, but why? You know, and the church wasn't helpful in that way either with explaining to me what sexuality looks like biblically, you know, and I think the church has had a gap with being able to not really go into the Bible and explain things from God's view and show that God is good and that he loves us, and walking through like even just why and what the consequences are, and like what a sin is at the root of it all, unbelief in God. It's pride. It's you being your own God. And so we didn't really work through that. It was just bad. And so it was just interesting that there was this taboo thing going on with the word, but no one would explain it. And then my whole church fell. My pastor ended up having sexual misconduct and just allegations against young boys at my church. And the whole church imploded and fell. We stopped going to church. My mom stopped going to church. It was a really big scar for us. And then I felt just really sad and ashamed, but also like, well, what's the point of everything if this thing that I've been called all my life trying to figure out is the same thing that my pastor was doing? I did remember also this crucial time sitting with my mother asking about homosexuality, and I read Leviticus 18:22. And the scripture is straightforward. I never in my life questioned the scriptures. I think as I got older and sanctified in my recent years, I've just learned the heart of God behind it and learned God's character and nature behind everything that he does, because he's good and he does good things for us. But I took the scripture as homosexuality is an abomination, as I was an abomination. And so there was this weird sense of like condemnation and shame. And I viewed God as someone that I couldn't ignore, but I didn't have relationship with him. I knew him and I knew that he was just. And it just felt like I could never get it right, because by the time of me reading the word and starting to look at pornography, I've continued to open that door where I'm medicating myself with porn. So every time I'm sad, every time I'm upset, if there's like an issue, or if I'm bored, to be honest as well, like I would just go into the pornography, the masturbation, all of the things. And it would be this weird cycle, to the point where what happened was I came into agreement with the demonic spoken words that were spoken over me. And yes, it came from other people in school. It also came from a little bit of church, family members, things of that nature. And I think we have to do a better job of not seeing homosexuality as this weird other outward thing. And yes, it's an abomination. Yes, there's varying degrees. You know, I've just been studying about the various consequences that come with certain sins. Shout out to Alexander Pagani Apostle. He has a book on that. But just realizing that we have to really walk through people and journey with them and give them the why and the heart behind God. So I say that to say, like, I view God just, he was mad at me and I could not get it right. And I felt alone. I felt by myself. I felt like I wanted God, but I didn't know how to get him. I felt like I was bound by my sin and I didn't know how to get out. I felt like I couldn't tell anyone. I felt like I definitely couldn't tell my family. And what happened was I ended up having crushes in high school, a little bit in college as well. I pursued dance in college, and there was still this open expression, this open environment of defining yourself or whatever. I would still get the question, well, are you gay or are you not? And, you know, it transitioned from like, no, to maybe like, I don't think so. And just this weird sort of question mark on my sexuality. But as I was in college, continuing to pursue my craft, I was just focused on getting through there. I had a lot of hard financial challenges and just going through a lot. And while everyone else was partying, I was like, I'm studying and I got to wake up for class. But I think at the root of it was I already had blood on my ledger. I knew that like this homosexuality thing was horrible. I would also have trouble sleeping. I would have nightmares. And, you know, also at one point in college, I was sort of couch hopping and kind of homeless and just a lot going on. And so I really just wanted to focus on my craft and my career. However, what happened, Isaiah, as I graduated, I'm really stubborn. The Lord has graced me with the spirit of stubbornness. I was like, I'm going to be a dancer and you're not going to tell me no. And that's what I did. I was like, I'm going to have a job right after college. And I had a job right after college. And everyone was like, I don't think it could work. Watch me. You know what I'm saying? And so I guess that's where that independence kind of comes from, that stubbornness and also striving in that way. And so I performed for about 5 to 6 years, but every dance job that I had was horrible. It was horrible. And this is the thing that I dedicated my life to. I was like, I'm going to be a performer. I'm going to be an artist. This was my dream. And literally every single job was horrible. It was meaningless for me. And there was one time where, you know, I got lied on. There was a lawsuit against me at one point, all these other things. I got injured. Just horrible situations where I couldn't work with people. And I was going to take a break. And so I got an opportunity where I was connecting with some other good friends of mine to move to New York. I started to transition into more entrepreneurial endeavors. But as I did that, I was still sad. And I think a lot of times people put their identity, if your identity is not in God, it's not going to work out. Period. But as I continue to put my identity in my career and my striving or whatever I was doing, I shifted into corporate work, but I was heavily depressed. I had a lot of anxiety. There were days where I did not want to go to work. Like I could not get out. I had to make myself get out of bed. Like I would stay up restless, starting to having just small nightmares, insomnia, staying up really late, very lethargic, insomnia a little bit in that way. What else?
And are you living a gay lifestyle at this time when this is all going on?
Yeah, I started to. So back in 2022, I decided for myself that like I needed to come out, because all throughout this time, from when I've been young, since 11 to 12, all the way up through college, up to 2016, 2018, 19, 2020, 2021, I was like, oh, let me be in the closet. I'm still wrestling with this. But in 2022, I decided, hey, like, I need to feel better about my life. So I need to take charge of my life and come out. I don't know why.
From 10, 11, 12 years old, were dealing with it, and then you just hit it for the next almost what decade till you decided that you want to come out and tell everyone that you're gay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so the way I wanted to do it was I wanted to be in a relationship, and I wanted to let it be in a full thing. It's just interesting, like thinking that a relationship could fix brokenness was really weird. But I just wanted to just like, oh, let me go out on dates. So I was out on the dates. I was doing all those things. I had intimate moments with people, but it never felt right. And I also was the type of person where I was like, I want to get married. I was like, even if, you know, I'm gay, I was like, I don't like having like all these multiple partners, this lifestyle. The lifestyle in general is a lot. And there's some people who don't feel welcome and unified in the LGBTQ community. There's a lot of segregation. There's a lot of cliques. It's like, you're too this, you're too that, you're too thin, you're too fat, you're too muscular, you're too masculine, you're too feminine. And so for a community that's supposed to be loving and acceptive, I always still felt outwardly an other. Mm. Obviously, because Jesus Christ, he was calling for me.
Yeah.
But I still didn't feel accepted and unified. I was starting to learn more about the community. I would watch things, I would go to events, I would go to parties. You know, and all of this lifestyle is just like drinking and sex. But at some point, the drinking and the sex doesn't do anything for you. What happens when you have a loss? Yeah. What happens when you're struggling with something?
Good.
And I think for me, it became very apparent that I had a problem. I was like, the porn thing has become an addiction where now I'm even doing it at work. And yes, maybe I'm going out on dates, but I'm not feeling great about it. I'm not feeling happier. And there's this sense of like, oh, I want to feel happier. And it's like the happiness that you're looking for, the satisfaction that you're looking for only comes through Christ.
It's good.
The joy of the Lord is the only thing that was able to satiate my appetite. And so I didn't know that at first, but just thinking about I need to just help the brokenness in my life. And I knew God was the only way. So I decided, I say, hey, like, let me go back to church. Back in 2022, I started going to V1.
And how old are you at this point in 2022?
How old am I? How old am I now? I'm 30.
I don't even know. What's my 30? I have to ask my wife.
What's 30 minus 24, 23? So 28, okay, 27 okay. or 28. There we go. Yeah. Math is obviously not my ministry.
No, you're good. No worries.
Neither's geography, okay? But so I'm around that age time, and I'm like, all of the things that I'm trying to do by myself in my own strength is not working. So I don't know if we were just talking about the issue with the woman of blood. She was bleeding for 12 years, and her desperation led to her faith and taking action to hold onto his cloak. And I think a lot of the times people see me and they're like, what was it? I was like, I was desperate. Like nothing was working. And I think that's where people have to get to. There's this desperation. You're hitting a wall. There's this, you know, the obstacle that you're trying to get around, you have to go through. And the only way for you to go through it and face your obstacles and trials and traumas and triggers is through Jesus Christ. So I said, let me go. So I was in a relationship actually at the time. Great guy. He also believed in the Lord. And this is where this kind of weird doctrine of like, let me come out, but let me still love the Lord. And that was me trying to customize the Lord for myself. It was me trying to, knowing that there was heaven and eternal life and wanting that, but not being obedient to his word. And the only way that has now been able to happen is through the power of the Holy Spirit. But I didn't have the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? So
you're dating a guy. And if you guys didn't catch what he just said, he said he tried customizing Jesus. That's a sermon right there. Customizing God to make him what he wanted him to be. So you're now dating a guy, but also saying, like, you know, obviously you're saying you're a gay Christian, and the guy saying he's a gay Christian, which we're going to talk about later. And now you're dating a guy saying you're a gay Christian and attending V1 church. You're going to church, and just take us from there. Cause I wanted to just stop you and say the customized Jesus is so relevant. Cause I think a lot of people in the LG community, they want a Jesus in their image rather than the Jesus that made them in his image. So they want to edit and put filters on and customize and take out the parts of scripture. And you know this, there's this huge doctrine about, well, homosexuality wasn't in the Greek and it's not really what the Bible meant. When the Bible explicitly over and over in the Old Testament and New Testament condemns the sin of homosexuality, by the way, along with the sin of jealousy, anger, gluttony, lust, rage, being a thief, being a liar. So we can talk about that after, but the Bible undoubtedly condemns a man with a man and a woman with a woman. But now here you are trying to have Jesus, but also have your sin at the same time. And then you end up going to church, and then take us from there.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like people don't want to face their reality. And I think because we have the Lord's DNA all the way in our body, since we are a reflection of him, we know the truth deep down, hidden within us. We just have to be able to accept that truth and face that reality. And so some of us, I feel like, grow up and we're making choices and decisions, and we want to pursue what we want and our desires. And we think it's through good intentions. But when we come to know that there is only one truth, the truth of Jesus Christ, we it's hard for people to say that they're wrong. Not me. I was at a point where I was desperate, where I said, Lord, I'm going to go to church. Went to V1. There were a lot of hard sermons talking about sexuality. I still went because I said, I'm going to get out this porn thing. And I know Jesus is the only way. And I was still hanging around lukewarm Christians. I was still kind of performing and kind of being in the world. I started to get back into dancing, and in that industry, the music, the dance is very secular, explicit, demonic, all the things. Preach. And it was this weird sort of tug of war for my soul. But I kept showing up to church. I kept showing up to my first ever like Bible study or group was our porn recovery class. Wow. Shout out to Chris, shout out to Frank. And I continue showing up because there are other sort of like AA or recovery programs, but they're talking about your creator and whatever. And I'm like, no. Let me tell you something. There's one creator. His name is Jesus. I need God to get out of this. But as I was continuing to move through that in 2022, while still being lukewarm and tug of warring and thinking I'm being a gay Christian, like I had books. I had this book called Gay Christian. I had this autobiography about this guy who came out to his family and he claimed to be Christian, and all of these things where I was just sort of feeding myself, but something continued to tug at my heart to seek truth and freedom. I really wanted freedom. And as I did that in 2023, so out of 2022 into 2023, I got my most highest paying job that I ever had, worked really hard for it. And then I said a prayer to the Lord, and I basically said, Lord, I feel you calling to me. I feel like there's this the pulling on my heart to transform my sexuality, but I'm scared, and I feel like I cannot change because not that I felt like that I was born this way. I would say for me, the feeling is I feel stuck. Now, some people can say born this way because we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, period. And so I just felt stuck, and I knew no other way. I knew no other way to get out. So as I decided to do that, I prayed to the Lord and I asked him, I said, Lord, I want to come to you, but I'm afraid. But I said, if it's your will, let your will be done. And I said, if you can heal me, you can have me. I said, I don't know how I can be straight. I said, but if I'm seeking you, Lord, show me the truth. If you're telling me that being gay and being Christian is truth, that's great. But I said, but if you also tell me that I can't be gay and be Christian, I said, that's fine. I'm going to accept that. But you have to do this work in me because I can't do it. I physically cannot see myself. I said, this has to be a miracle for me to be transformed and changed this way. And I say transformed because there's not really a change because I didn't do anything. Jesus did. When I said those words, I opened up my heart And I opened up my heart in repentance to the Lord to come and do the work and clean my temple as he see fit. And I totally surrendered to the Lord. And as I did that, I heard the Lord say, just come to me. We'll worry about the other stuff later. And this is very vital because I didn't come to Jesus to be straight. I didn't, because I felt like it was inconceivable, impossible to do this. But I came to the Lord for Jesus. And in the process of coming to the Lord has sanctified and transformed me in ways that I couldn't even imagine from the inside out. And I know sometimes people see me and maybe they think this is this weird sort of overnight, or like this has not been an overnight thing. The Lord has been doing a working in my heart since 2022, maybe even since 2021, practically all of my life, but just this deep sanctification working of me coming to him. And the scripture says, come to me all who are weary and burdened and I will give you rest. Because the root of what was going on in my life wasn't just my sexuality, is that I was trying to be my own God. And I was trying to identify myself in every other area except for him, which is idolatry. So if anyone wants to argue about a word or whether it was used or a Greek or a Roman, the commandment says, do not have any other gods before me.
Come on.
Whatever that looks like, whatever image, whatever reputation or idol that you have above the Lord in your heart needs to come down. And so I was willing and humble enough, and humility is the opposite of pride. So I was humble enough to let the Lord come in and do that work for me. And he literally changed my life and saved me. So 2 months after I said that prayer in January 2023, March of 2023, I got furloughed and let go of my job. I was like, give my life to Christ and then you get unemployed. I was like, whoa. And it was a time where it was very hard, but I do not regret it because it was literally manna coming out of anywhere, everywhere. I was feasting on the word of God like never before. And obviously our church takes the time to walk through the Bible and point us to Christ. And I'm also in my porn recovery group, but I'm also in groups just working through the Bible and fellowshipping and connecting with other people. I would never forget this. I don't want to cry. Oh,
come on. So good, man. It's powerful. You're doing awesome.
So shout out to Donica and Emily. Donica is a men of valor at our church. I told him this recently. But he came up to me, and I'm a busybody. I'm like serving at church. I'm moving around. I'm doing all these things. I was like, I knew I wanted to serve at my church. I knew I wanted to be there for the word. So I was just going. But Dan, he just stopped me one day and he just hugged me. And it wasn't like a short hug. It was a long hug. And I would never forget that because it was the first time a man hugged me. And I appreciate my church so much because they never judged me for what I was going through. And they helped to walk me through everything. And so I'm grateful for, I honor my church, I honor my pastors, I honor the discipleship. And I think a lot of people are so done with the church. But I'm like, the church is what revived me because the body of Christ, when we're truly operating in that, and having Jesus at the center, it changes and transforms people. And it takes people from being lost to saved, from being just, you know, wayward sheep to becoming warriors in the kingdom of God. And so I'm thankful and grateful for that. And so if you're hearing this and if you have church hurt, like, it's just like, I get it. But it's about the relationship with God and trusting the Lord. And then also opening your heart to trust his people because you also receive Christ through his other image bearers. So
it's so good.
So that was a lot, but no, good. I was so appreciative of that embrace that I got and just having a church walk with me. I don't know why. Yeah. I lost.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question? When you are living, cause you talk about how you're living, you know, you have a boyfriend, but you're in church and so you just start going to church. Obviously, yeah. Pastor Mike, who, by the way, shout out, is in the chat. We love you, Pastor Mike, and V1, all the V1 family. But he's yeah. obviously talking about it. He's posting YouTube videos. We're doing live streams about it. And he's preaching yeah. it from the pulpit, how this lifestyle is not synonymous with scripture. It's like antithetical yeah. to what the Bible teaches. I want to ask yeah. you, as somebody who's living that lifestyle, because many people fill the church that live that lifestyle, what were yeah. you thinking when he's preaching against the very lifestyle that you're living? Were you like mad, or were you like, man, he's right, and I don't want this. I want to get free from this. Like, what are your thoughts when he's preaching about this?
Like, my heart was like, I'm going to sit here and find truth.
Mm.
And if this is the truth, I want it. So I'm just sitting here absorbing it. I'm just absorbing it. There's a little winces. My flesh is like, ah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was crazy. But I stayed. And I think when you get so desperate for freedom, you want to stay and you want the truth and you absorb the truth. And I was submerged in it. When I got employed, I was like, God is not afraid of your questions. Bring your questions to him.
Good.
Bring your questions to him. I guarantee you there's an answer in the Bible. Mm. And if you don't, ask for help. That's why Good. You need to go to church, pastor, for help. So I had questions, but I kept searching and working through it. I listened to a lot of people. I started reading books. I started reading biblical books. And at that time, what happened was, it was probably the work of the Holy Spirit, but I was just like, I need to focus to get out of porn. So I was like, I'm breaking out of this relationship. And I wasn't ready for a relationship, and that other person wasn't either. So at the top of 2023, before I said that prayer, we broke up. And so the Lord did a moment of just separating me. And I think sometimes people need to be desperate, but also be open to the separation of the Lord so that he can start sanctifying and purifying you. And as I was doing that, and as I was let go from my job, and after I said that prayer, the Lord was constantly downloading truth to me, downloading truth, receiving it. And it's not just like homosexuality, but like, what does the Lord say about the body?
Mm.
What does he say about your temple, the holy temple? And I think for me, the greatest revelation that I had, I say this all the time, my favorite scripture that is tattooed on my heart is Matthew 3:17, where God says, this is my beloved son in whom I love and I'm well pleased in him. This is what he said to Jesus after he was baptized. The first thing that God says to Jesus is he affirms him before he did anything, before he did his ministry, before he did anything else. It was a revelation that I was loved. That was the hardest thing for me, to realize that God loved me, because I'm feeling like impure, unclean, wow, all the things. But that's the work of Jesus. He said, I'm going to redeem my people myself. No other God is going to do that. Muhammad's not dying for you. Buddha's not dying for you. The yoga's not dying for you. Krishna, whoever else it is. No one's dying for you except for Jesus Christ, and you're able to accept freedom and eternal salvation right there. And so when I started to receive the love and the heart of the Father, it is through that love that I was able to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to obey him.
Mm.
I did have a little, and I think a lot of times people see my conviction. I'm like, yes, I'm reading the word and I'm eating it up, but I've also had experiences. Like, we're also having a revival. We think demons getting cast out, come out with Jesus' name comes out. We have our own movie comes out. I myself get deliverance. I have deliverance in my dreams.
If we could move into that, I'm curious about that. Yeah. I wanted to touch on, I've dealt with a lot of people. I used to preach every single month in San Francisco for 8 years straight. So at a very, one of the largest and oldest Pentecostal churches. It's been there for 120 years, called Glad Tidings. It's in downtown San Francisco. So probably you guys could assume I've dealt with a lot of people living in trans lifestyles, homosexual lifestyles. Many of them say, which we'll talk about later, about, you know, I was born this way. And I always responded with, you won't be born again that way. Doesn't matter how you're born. You're going to be born again a different person. But it seemed to be, from all the people I dealt with deliverance, some of them got deliverance in their dreams. Some of them got deliverance at the service. Some of them got deliverance at home. But it always seemed to be that there was a root of sexual immorality. Usually it was sexual trauma. It was abuse growing up. It was getting into pornography and perversion. And that was the open door. Every single one I've ever dealt with, there was a point of an open door for you. You talk about this open door when you're 10, 11, 12 years old. I'm interested in your thoughts on deliverance and deliverance ministry and your deliverance story, because it's something which I don't understand why we don't talk about this and connect it to the LG community needs deliverance. It's a loving thing to say, hey, you can get free. God can deliver you. God can free you. And the same way he can deliver you from the spirit of lust, the spirit of addiction, the spirit of anything else, anger, right? You rage of anger, fits of anger, ruins your life. God can deliver you from anger. So I don't know why we're so afraid of talking about the delivering power. And guys, when we say deliverance, We literally mean casting unclean spirits out of people. We don't talk about that because that lifestyle is an unclean lifestyle. Just like fornication. And I know there's people in the chat right now. I just want to call it out that are saying things about your testimony or saying things about you or your past. Yet they're fornicating with their girlfriend. So they're pointing out saying like, oh yeah, gay people, this and that. And they're talking, you know, all this stuff, bashing gay people. Yet they fornicate with their girlfriend. Yeah, maybe they don't realize they're also not inheriting the kingdom of God. Because the same way homosexuals, the Bible says, won't inherit, neither will fornicators. Yet we don't see that talked about much. And it's so easy to judge people's sin when it looks different than ours. But guys, let's be very careful that we're not calling out the speck in other people's eyes while there's a plank sticking out of ours, and making sure that we're judging with righteous judgment. And this is where I think we need to have love and compassion towards this community, because they're just as lost as everybody else. They're just as lost. Yeah. We don't need to get up every week and preach against the sin. We just say, hey, we're all in sin. We're all in darkness. God can deliver you, bring you out, break your addiction, and set you free. Yeah. And I've literally, bro, I kid you not, I've sat with guys that were gay, right? And they went in deliverance. We did a 2-3 hour deliverance, literally had the spirit of homosexuality speaking out of them, cast it out. And then after the deliverance, they're like, I'm attracted to women. I have no attraction towards men anymore. I've seen people get radically, of course, that's not every person's story. Sometimes deliverance is a process. Sometimes people are getting renewed in their mind. God's transforming them by the work of his Holy Spirit. Like you said, some people are getting delivered at night. I know people have gotten delivered in their sleep and they wake up and the demons are gone. So not everyone has the same journey, but we can't take deliverance off the table because it's such an overlooked and powerful component to seeing people free. I know I said a lot there, but I am very interested in your deliverance story and testimony. Because obviously you're in a deliverance church. If you guys don't know V1, I mean, Pastor Mike, they do deliverance. You can't go there and be like, what's deliverance? You're obviously hearing about it. You're like, what is this deliverance thing? So share some of that with us.
Well, that's what happened. Like, I came to my church and I'm like, this is different. And I was like, what is this? I was like, I knew something different because I felt the wind and the breath of God, but then also signs, miracles, wonders, and deliverance is breaking out. Which, by the way, when Jesus is doing a lot of the same signs, miracles, and wonders in the New Testament as in the Old Testament, one of the biggest differences was his work with deliverance. And so you see him cast out demons in the Bible. Now, me growing up, which is why I talk about the church, my church didn't help me walk through the Bible and understand it. I didn't really see any signs, miracles, and wonders in my church. I've never seen deliverance before in my life. Mm. You know, you hear a little bit here and there. There's like evil and there's spiritual world. Yes, there's a kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. In case you didn't know, the darkness is ruled by Satan and the light is Jesus, okay? And so with that, I knew of it and I knew like, oh, like is the demonic a real thing? Listen, we got witches and warlocks down the street in New York.
Come on.
And I just don't understand why we can't understand that this is a spiritual world. And so when my spiritual eyes were open and senses were open, going to my church, having movies come out, like Come Out in Jesus' Name, The Domino Revival, like the Lord was doing a work where I was getting deliverance. And at first
go ahead.
I have to fear the Lord. I have to fear the Lord. Listen, the demons don't come out only in one name, Jesus.
Come on.
Muhammad is not the name, it's Jesus. So I said, oh, this is real. I knew it was real, but I know it's really real. And the fear of the Lord came upon my life to the point where the Holy Spirit literally cleaned out my house. I threw out posters, images, items. I threw out clothes. I was starting to dress up in feminine clothing, threw it all out. I threw out all the gay Christian books. The Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit came in and said, clean it out. I put everything in a trash bag. I just threw it at a dumpster. And then the Lord was doing a work with my spiritual senses to where I started getting deliverance. Well, I just like, let me do self-deliverance because I just want to get it out and get it through. I was like, nothing's happening, and nothing's coming up. And I'm like, Lord, I just feel like something's in there. What am I going to do? And you're very correct on the door being open. And what I will say is, my story is different from a lot of other people's stories in the queer community. Some people, it can be through, you know, rape or, you know, sexual misconduct, molestation, whatever, all that stuff. And then some people, it is through pornography. For me, it was bullying and pornography. So it looks different from each person. And even if you feel like you have the perfect family or whatever, your family's not perfect. There's still sin that is embedded somewhere. You may have been filled abandoned and neglected, even if you're, maybe your father was home, but he wasn't really home. So I think it's really interesting when people say, oh, I'm fine. You know, I've decided to make this choice. No, there's always a root and there's always a seed where the door was opened and you invite Satan to come in. And for me, as I opened up that door for pornography, you know, it was that first time and then that second time. And I was like, oh, okay, it's whatever. But as I continued to open up the door, everything kept getting worse. The cycle kept getting bigger. The desire kept getting stronger. But when we call for Jesus Christ to come in, when we repent and renounce, we shut that door closed, you know? And so for me, my deliverance happened in my dreams. I believe it started definitely at the church. But I can't remember really what I was doing. But as I fell asleep, it was like I was asleep, but also awake. And there was like my body was on fire. Like I couldn't move. Like I felt fire in my stomach and I was on my back. And I said this with Angela on our podcast, but as I was entering in the dream, I was in this grassy land. The sun was setting and there was a black hole literally in my stomach, right where the burn was. And so like, I'm like sweating. I can't move. Like I had to stand very still because there's just fire emitting all throughout my body. And as I see the black hole in my stomach, it gets wider in my abdomen and I fall to the ground and there's black sludge pouring out of the hole onto the grass. Wow. And as the black sludge goes onto the grass is starting to decay. And then there's this big pool that forms with the sludge coming out of my stomach, out of my abdomen. And it forms a pool around me to the point where it starts decaying everything and sinking. And then I start sinking. So I'm sinking into this black pit. Everything is decaying around me. And then out of the abdomen, I see a black hand shoot out of my stomach. And it grabs onto my shirt. And it starts pulling me deep into the sludge. And I'm feeling like I'm about to go under until I see another hand shoot from the black sludge. And it's a hand with a white garment. It's Jesus.
Wow.
He comes and he takes the hand off of me and he grabs onto the hand and he holds onto it. And the black hand is trying to wiggle free.
Wow.
And the hand of the Lord has it and it can't let go. And so Jesus' hand pulls the black hand. I stop sinking. And all of the hand and the sludge and the dark hole in my abdomen start to fall into the sludge. And Jesus' hand, instead of me drowning in the sludge, the hand, Jesus' hand drowns into the sludge with the black hand. And then I see a flash of light permeate through the sludge. I see the grass be renewed and turn into green grass. I'm like falling on the ground and physically I stop burning. And then the sun comes up. And I'm just nestled into, I see flowers blooming. I see the grass coming and it starts wrapping me up and it forms a blanket around me. And then it's just like peace. I hadn't felt that much peace in all of my life until after that night. And I think, right, I would say maybe a month before then, the Lord had taken porn away from me. So it was like this work, this sanctifying work where my desires for porn started to change. I didn't need to do it. And sometimes people in pornography, they can feel like they can like muscle their way through it. Like sometimes I would stop and I would be like, oh, I'm good for a week. And then like, I'll go back at it for 2 months straight. You know what I'm saying? So it was really a work of the Holy Spirit. And this was still in 2023 after I said my dangerous prayer to the Lord where I said, you have your way, do the miracle in me. He took the porn away from me. Deliverance and my spiritual senses are open. I get deliverance in my dreams. And as I've never had felt such a sense of freedom and peace ever since.
That's so good.
And sometimes people look at me and they're like, you look very young. I'm like, no, but Jesus. They're like, you just look different. And I'm just like, it's literally the joy of the Lord. And I would rather have this than depression, than anxiety, than pornography. I do not care about anybody's opinion because in my darkest hour, you were nowhere there. Only the Lord was there.
Come on.
That's how I feel.
That's so good. And, you know, there's the bottom line is there's so many people watching. There's a couple thousand on right now that are dealing with pornography, that are dealing with lust. Yes. Is there any, I heard you, I think you said on a podcast something about like, you don't have the phone in your room when you go to sleep, something like that. Is there any practical steps? Cause a lot of people are like, Lord, I want to get delivered. And they do get delivered, but at the same time, you don't just always need deliverance. You also need discipline. Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. So it's like, hey, if your hand causes you to sin, and I love what he says, even your good hand, then cut it off. So there's something practical that Jesus, and drastic and radical, that Jesus wants you to do to get rid of this lust in your life. The Bible says put to death those lustful desires in you, where it's not just Jesus saying, hey, I'm going to deliver you, which he does deliver. And I got delivered from the spirit of lust. I started watching pornography around the same age as you and spent years and years in addiction. And the Lord delivered me literally from that spirit and have not watched, gone back to it since 13 years ago when the Lord delivered me. But also I have discipline in my life. Also, I'm not up late at night searching websites. I'm not on the Instagram Explore page. I'm not on TikTok scrolling, looking at videos. Like, I know what that road ends in. I know what's behind that door. So I'm not opening the door. I'm not going down the road. There's practical things I also do in my life to make sure that I don't go down that road. Is there anything practical you can share that you've done or did to make sure that you don't fall back to that sexual sin and that pornography?
Yeah, there are definitely practical things. And this is, I learned through my church and my accountability partner. Shout out to Aaron. Also shout out to Kirk. Shout out to everybody.
I love all the shout outs. I love it.
But, I remember hearing people from church and, you know, Aaron speaking about, like, at one point he got a burner phone, you know, at one point he threw out his computer, he had to smash it. You know, he got a just different devices where maybe it's not the fanciest, smashiest one. But having different things, I also practically, I don't sleep with any devices in my room. My room is my room. My room is my bedtime. I go to sleep in my room. I don't watch TV in my room. I don't watch any devices in my room. It's outside. You know, now there's grace. This is not legalistic. Like, something happens and like, I don't have an outlet and my phone's there. The Holy Spirit has done the work. Yes. However, it's good for you to be able to have boundaries and place good things around yourself, set up your environment for success.
Good.
And actually, the Bible calls that wisdom. Some people say you can do too much. I'm not doing too much. I'm being wise. There's some people, married people. There's married people that I know that have dealt with lust or temptation and they put precautions and boundaries. Like, I'm going to turn this direction when another woman walks this way. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to be by myself with another woman. I'm going to have my wife with me. I'm going to do this. That goes with people who are single as well, having boundaries up. And so it's not me necessarily being afraid of temptation or things of that nature. It's being wise, because the Bible tells us that the Lord will help us to resist temptation. And he says, flee. He didn't say walk away from temptation. He says, run. So I'm doing all that I can in my power. I love, you guys say this too. You talk about, you cast out a demon, but you crucify the flesh. Pastor Mike always says that. Like, you can't cast out your flesh and crucify a demon.
It's good.
You can't do that. So you have to be able to have discipline and margin in your life. And also, Pastor Mike always talks about this. Maybe you also need to get up off the couch if you're on the couch. Maybe you're on the couch. But get off the couch and do things.
Yeah.
You know, if you're productive in your day, if you're helping other people, if you're pouring into other people, if you're refreshing other people, if you're saving the lost, if you're sharing Jesus with someone, if you're bringing someone to Christ, you don't have time to be looking at porn.
Come on.
You don't have time
to
do these things, you know? You may want to work out. You may want to run a marathon. But, you know, just be careful to not have that become an idol in your life, because sometimes people can get so worked up as like, oh, this is the way I cope, and this is the way I recharge, or this is the way I let off or whatever. Yes, but also we serve a God who is a God that also rested and that he also restores.
Good.
And so we can get filled with him when we are able to be wise and creating boundaries and margins and setting up our environment that way.
That's good.
So yeah, that's what I have to say.
And I think too, boredom's a massive fuel to pornography. Yeah. When people get bored, when they get tired, when they're vulnerable, when they're curious, all of those things, idle hands are literally the devil's playground. This is what the devil wants. So make yourself busy. Whether, like you said, it's getting a hobby, it's going to the gym, it's eating right, and all that stuff also has to do with it. It's sleeping at the right times. It's not being up late on the internet. It's not watching movies. If you know that movie's going to stir you up, don't watch the movie. If you know that music stirs you up, which if you're Christian, you shouldn't be listening to secular music. That's another stream. But don't listen. If it stirs you up, if it brings back memories, you shouldn't be listening to it. I think you really have to get radical. Listen, if the Bible says if your eye causes you to sin, cut it out or gouge it out, then I can get rid of my laptop. I could add to that. If my laptop causes me to sin, get rid of it. I mean, it's less drastic to get rid of my $2,000 MacBook than to gouge my eye out and then have to go get a glass eye put in and then have to go through surgery and have to go through x-rays and scans. And it's way less drastic to just get rid of my laptop. So sometimes you have to clear out the clutter. And we are in, I mean, we all know this, an incredibly sexualized, over-sexualized generation where every time you go to the mall, every time you go to the movies, everywhere you go, every show, sexual innuendos, it's all perverted. Yes. It's all pornographic in nature. And it's fueling that spirit that wants to destroy your life. And if you don't believe me, go read. I think it's Proverbs 5, where Solomon talks about the adulterous woman, the promiscuous woman. And he literally says, she'll drag you to hell. He says her feet go down to the grave. Stay away from the door of her house. He's like, don't even jog by her house. And she wants to destroy you and bring you to hell. It's incredibly dark, this agenda. And so, we need to be vigilant and we need to be violent against the spirit so that we don't fall into this. But I want to ask you this, just circling back around. This is a question that I think somebody asked you. I can't remember the interview, but something that's very controversial in the church. Can you be Christian and gay at the same time? I don't know what you're going to say. I just want to know your unbiased, I didn't send you these questions purposely before. I just want to know, can you be Christian and gay at the same time?
The answer is no.
Amen.
But walking through that, like I said, the Bible talks about idolatry. So whatever your misconceptions about the Bible or theology, whatever, like, having any idol above the Lord is disobedient. And so you're not in relationship with the Lord. And so when you're holding your sexuality, it's like you're holding that above the Lord. It's your highest priority other than the Lord and his will being your highest priority. Jesus said that we must love the Lord with all our heart, mind, and soul. And we must love our neighbor the same way as we love ourselves. And so when we don't love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, and soul, by saying that, oh, I want to give the Lord a piece of me, but not the complete of me, it's a spit on the work of the cross, because Jesus didn't give a piece of himself to die for you. He gave his whole self to die for us.
Come on.
And so I think it's important to get a revelation. My pastor, Pastor Mike, always says this: salvation is free to you, but it costs everything. It costs God everything to die. So yes, it's a free gift to you, but this, when you understand the magnitude and the weight of the sacrifice of God, you treasure the free gift of salvation differently. And I know I also mentioned this a little bit when I was talking to Angela, but just the body says that we are a holy temple. And when we receive Christ and we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells inside of us.
Mom.
And just like a house, the Holy Spirit, just like in the wilderness of having the ark of the most holy of holies, your body is now the most holy of holies for the presence of the Lord to dwell. And he needs to sit and permeate every part of that house of your temple.
Good.
And if closing off a section, you're not allowing him access to dwell in all of your temple. And so I think, and sometimes people can get into this weird world, like, am I saved or not? And that could be a deeper thing. I'm not the judge. I don't know who's saved or not, but I know what the Bible talks about, bearing good fruit. And if you are saying that, oh, I love the Lord, but X, Y, and Z, and your fruit is bitterness, it's still unforgiveness toward your family. It's rebellion, which is still witchcraft. You're falling into these cycles of depression and fear and anxiety. You haven't received the inheritance of the Lord. And the Lord has put it on my heart to really speak about, like, sin has been atoned for. Like, the justification, us being justified, was that we were guilty of sin, but the Lord switched us. He made an exchange. You're not dying. Jesus died. And so now he declares you righteous. He declares you holy and righteous. The goal is not to be straight. The goal is not to get married, because marriage is not for everyone. And Jesus talks about in heaven, we're not going to be married. However, the goal is to be holy and righteous and pleasing the Lord and worshiping him in spirit and truth. You cannot worship the Lord with 1/4 of your heart close off to him.
It's good.
So you want the Holy Spirit to permeate every single part of you, because the Lord 100% died for you. And so that's what I would say about not being able to do both. The Lord doesn't do halfway marriages. You are either fully married or you are fully not. You are either serving the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And I know this is hard. However, the Lord gives is the only truth. And I believe because the Lord loves and he gives truth, but he also has boundaries.
It's good.
And he gives you the option to have free will. Like, what? God is fair, God is just, God is loving with boundaries.
Yeah.
And he gives you a free will to do what you choose. And so you are freely deciding to choose him. And I don't obey the Lord because I fear going to hell. I obey the Lord because I fear him and I fear being away from his presence. Mm. Because when you are filled with the Holy, we need to get a revelation that we need to stop believing or thinking that people will die for us when they won't. Like the lover, the person that you are so caught up with, whether physically or emotionally or both, they're not going to die for you. Mm. We need to get a revelation that God is going to die. That God is the only person that will die for you. There is no man on this earth that, even if I am tempted with attractions, they will not die for me. Mm. And if you're seeing this, like if you're upset about whatever, if your demons are manifesting, whatever that looks like, you are not going to die for me. You do not love me like Jesus. We need to catch a revelation that Jesus loves us. You are not going to die for me.
It's good.
You do not care about my soul. When I learned that Jesus Christ was the lover of my soul, when I had been searching for affirmation and for identity and for acceptance for all of my life, and when I started to learn that the Lord loves me in spite of my sin and he calls me holy and righteous, it says in Zechariah 3, it was the story about the high priest and Satan accusing him, and he had the filthy clothes on. And then the angel of the Lord, which is a shadow of Jesus Christ, he says, I rebuke you, Satan. And he takes the filthy clothes of Joshua and he puts on fine garments on him. When I get a revelation that the Lord takes my sin, takes my shame, takes me from feeling like I'm abandoned, like I'm alone, and he puts on fine garments on me, and I get a revelation that I'm royalty, and I get a revelation that he loves me, that he dies for me, and that no one else is going to love me like Jesus. That's what love is. I said this before. Love is dying for someone that doesn't want you. Love is dying for someone that hates you.
So
you are not going to die for me. And so when we catch a revelation that the word of God as our fathers is a better word than anything that the world has to offer, how could I not? He is the one that has clothed me in righteousness. He is the one that has put fine garments on me. He is the one that crowns me, who put a turban crown on my head. Like, when we get a revelation that you are not crowning me with royalty. You don't care about my soul. So I think we need to stop giving people so much. We need to stop giving people our worship.
It's good.
So that's what good. I have to say about that.
Yeah, that's so good. And I think, is it safe to say, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but this is just my thoughts here. Is it safe to say there's a difference between being gay, living that lifestyle, and then saying you're Christian? Okay, so that's one over here. And then...
yeah.
Being a Christian and saying, hey, there's this perverted sexual desire I have, but it's not my identity, and I'm not going to give into it. I'm not going to give into it. I'm not going to go date a guy. I'm not going to be watching porn at all, period. But I'm not going to give into this desire. I'm going to fight it. I'm going to deny myself, because that's what the Bible says to do. And I'm a Christian, and I'm not giving into any of these desires, and I'm going to believe that the Lord's going to deliver me from this, going to redeem me, going to cleanse me, transform me, and wash me. To me, I think there you can be a Christian fighting the desire and saying, I'm not giving in. I'm not identifying. This is not my identity. And there's a difference between being, I'm a gay Christian. I like guys or I like girls if you're a girl, and I'm going to live that lifestyle. You can't tell me what to do. And I'm still going to be a Christian at the same time. I think, is it safe to say that's what we're saying you can't do? But the other one is, hey, God can deliver you. Hey, God can set you free. If you're fighting that desire and you're in church and you're serving God and you're tithing and you're praying and you're fasting and you're like, I hate this. Like, we should all feel about our sin. Amen. Yeah. We should all feel that way. I hate this desire. God, I don't want this, and I don't want it because it's not of you. It's not your will for my life. It's not your design. Lord, deliver me. I'm going to deny myself. Even though I have this ungodly desire, I'm going to deny myself, and I'm not going to walk in this, and I'm waiting, Lord, for you to transform me. And some pastors will say, Richard, and I've heard them say, like, you're just going to struggle with that your whole life. That's a lie from the devil. I do not believe that. I will never preach that. If there's people in the chat that are have the desire, you're not a gay Christian, you have that perverted desire, and you are a Christian, the devil's a liar to say you're always going to fight that. You will not always fight that. The Lord can wash you, cleanse you, deliver you, and set you free. There is freedom in the cross. The Lord can set you free from that. So I believe you could be Christian with those desires as long as you're not identifying and you're not giving into those desires and you're believing for the Lord to set you free, to deliver you from those. In the same way, you can have, desires to sleep with your girlfriend, right? That's fornication, by the way. And the Bible says you won't inherit the kingdom of God. And you go, hey, look, I'm a young guy, whatever, 18, 19, I'm not married. And I have this desire to sleep with my girlfriend. I don't know what to do. I can't fight this desire. And you go, it's in me, it's strong, but I'm not going to give in. I'm going to deny myself. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to sleep with her until I'm married. You are in the same place as the guy that's fighting the perverted desire. It's just a different gender. And the Lord can deliver both of you from that desire. The Lord can deliver both of you from, let's say, the lust. And you can fill in the blank, right? I'm probably giving a bad example, but you can fill in the blank. I just want to make it clear, don't stop fighting. If you are in the chat and you are a Christian that's battling and you have a perverted desire that you don't want, again, you're not identifying, you're not calling yourself gay, you're not walking around being like, well, I'm just gay and Christian, but you're fighting, the Lord can deliver you. Keep fighting. Don't leave discouraged tonight being like, well, I guess I'm not a Christian because I have those desires. God can deliver you. You are not in sin for having those desires. You're in sin for giving into those desires. It's not a sin to be tempted, because Jesus was tempted in every way. It's a sin to give in to temptation. So temptation will come. Desires will come, because the Bible says our flesh drags us away and gives us desires. But it's, do you give in? And that is where you say no. The first thing Jesus says to do, deny yourself. Like, man, I really have these desires, Isaiah. I don't know what to do. How about start with denying yourself? Start with saying, I'm not going to give into my flesh. I'm not going to give into these desires. I'm not going to give into these ungodly things. There is hope for you. There's deliverance for you. There's freedom. We're not cutting you off and saying, you can't be a Christian if you have those desires. We're saying the Lord wants to set you free from it. And you can't identify as perverted desires and still be a Christian. Is that all safe, Richard? Am I on target with the differences there?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that main difference of being a gay and Christian and being rebellious and doing whatever you want to do, like, there is that, you know, definitely agree with spot on. I would say, just like the example with the other Christian that struggles with lust with, you know, their girlfriend versus maybe same-sex attraction, you know, that's a good way to be able to define it. However, what I also think about is us identifying with what the Lord says. Because I know sometimes there's a funny language where people say, oh, like, I'm gay or I'm a gay Christian, but I just deny myself, or which is true. But there's a weird kind of like fine line between that goes off into that rebellious nature, or people maybe being still emotionally connected to someone, and you're basically playing marriage, but you're not married because it's like same sex, but you have created this sort of this soul tie and this covenant with someone, like your finances and everything is together, but like, oh, I'm denying my desires and we're not having sex or whatever. So what I will say is, like, you have to, I think the defining line is identifying that you are an image bearer, that you have a name. Like the gay thing, forget it. you have a name, whatever your name is, and you are an image bearer, and you are continuing to being sanctified and conformed to the image of Christ.
It's good.
I don't care if you have same-sex desires or you're not. Whatever that looks like, you are an image bearer. You have a name. My name is Richard. Also, my middle name is Isaiah.
Let's go. That's a good name.
My name is Richard, and I am an image bearer. I'm a son of God, and I'm being conformed to the image of Christ. And I'm continuously being sanctified throughout my life to have the best imitation of Christ as I'm here on the earth and to fulfill whatever assignment. Now, that sanctification process can be a process sometimes. God is a God of process. We don't know why in God's sovereignty and in his wisdom some things happen suddenly or quickly or over time.
Good.
But we don't know. The Lord says that we must lean on him and not on our own understanding. However, I do agree with you, Isaiah, that people stop fighting and they give up. I just talked about this on my podcast about like, well, like these desires keep happening. You know, I still get triggered and flared up with temptations, but it looks way different from earlier in my walk. And it's since I've like had deliverance, it's very different. Like now, like the devil will attack me in my sleep with nightmares. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but you just get up, do a little rebuke and prayer and keep it pushing. Tell your accountability partner, just pray for me, and we hate the devil, and we keep it moving. Because you're not stopping the strength. You know what I'm saying? And so I think sometimes when we encounter that pushback and that warfare, and when we get tempted, like you said, the Bible says when we get tempted, but it says that the Holy Spirit will allow us to resist.
Yeah.
So just because we're not defined by our temptations, and we will have to fight. I'm not going to say we might have to fight. We will have to fight. But I think what happens is people get fatigued. And the way that you have wisdom in our fight is knowing when to rest with the Lord and knowing when to come off of the front lines of the battle, knowing when to heal, and then being able to go back, you know, ready, you know, refreshed and restored to continue fighting. And we only do that through Christ. Paul talks about the endurance of Christ. You only endure through Jesus Christ. So if you're trying to do it in your own strength, if you're trying to do this thing in your works where you're like, okay, I'm trying to resist these desires and I'm praying and I'm fasting and all the things, pause. Are you having intimate relationship with the Lord? Like, are you inviting the glory of the Lord? That's like my mission. My practice, my mission is continually to invite the glory of the Lord. Because let me tell you, it's crazy out here. It's ghetto out here. And for some reason, the Lord has given me a platform, and I can't do any of this on my own strength. So the glory of the Lord is what empowers you. And I believe as we continue walking with the Lord, we mature and feed our spirit, and we bear good fruit, and we bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But some of us are giving up instead of enduring with the Lord. You're going to suffer. Like the Christian walk, I don't know if someone told you. We're not skipping. I mean, I like to do a cartwheel in the grass, but like it's not like rainbows and like, you know, everything is fine. Like, you know, once you come to Christ, everything's going to be great. That's completely not it. The Lord said you're going to suffer.
Yeah.
But the thing that we talk about is suffering well. So we have to suffer well. Like my mission, like I have joy. Like we struggle and we suffer, but we have hope in Jesus Christ, and he gives us peace and he gives us joy. So I know who to turn to when I have hard times, and I know who to go to when I need to be refreshed and replenished. And also I have people around me, and it's good to have community, and it's good to have accountability to help you and refresh you. Because Paul, yes, he was spreading the gospel, but he also had Timothy, and he also had other people around him. The apostles were together. The Lord sent the disciples out two by two. So you're not doing this in your own strength, which is why people need to go to church. And that's a whole other different sermon. But I'm like, you need to go to church and be around community to help you in your journey, to help remind you that you're not alone and that you have to continue. If the woman with the issue of blood spent 10 or 12 years having this, and she was unclean. We just got through Leviticus, and I'm reading it, and so like I keep talking about it, but like Leviticus is like the theologians, I guess, consider it to be the sanctification book, and you see people who are unclean. They were outcasted from the camp. Yep. This woman with the issue of blood was unclean, and she was casted off, didn't have anyone, but on faith, she walked through. And it was leading to Jesus Christ. And as she touched him, by her faith, she was healed. But some of us feel like we won't be able to fight through 12 years. What if it takes 12 years?
Come on.
What if it's two? It's 12. I mean, Joseph, he got the dream when he was young, when he was a teenager. And then he went through all this persecution, and his dream wasn't fulfilled, where he was the second command of Egypt until 13 years later.
Mm.
What if it takes you 13 years? God is a God of process. He knows what he's doing. But in that process with Joseph, he was building his character. And he was getting a deeper revelation of the Lord, of his character and nature. I think sometimes we fear going through struggle, but pain and struggle is an opportunity to know more of the Lord and to get a deeper revelation of how much he loves you and how much he fights for you.
That's so good.
Don't give
up. You're a preacher, man. You are a preaching machine. You're a preaching machine. I have two more questions. I know we're way over time. If you don't mind, I want to ask you two more questions. We don't have to go long on them. The first one I wanted to ask you about is some people, and this is just something I've noticed that come out of a gay lifestyle, their mannerisms completely change. And then some people, their mannerisms don't change at all. Have you received any criticism, or how do you respond to criticism of people saying, well, maybe you talk this certain way when you were gay and you still talk that way, even though now you're Christian, or maybe, I don't know, whatever way it could be. Have you dealt with any of that criticism, and how do you respond to people that might say, well, you talk like you did when you were gay, or maybe friends you have that came out of the gay lifestyle? Because I know people, like I said, when I ministered in San Francisco, they would be gay, get saved, and then still talk the same. Didn't change the way they talk, but they're, let me say it again. Their mannerisms didn't change, but their lifestyle changed. The way they talked, the way they talked didn't change, but the words they said changed. If that's making sense, and I'm using a play on words there. And then I know other people that they were completely changed. Their voice was different. They acted different. They talked different. What are your thoughts on that? And have you received any backlash? How do you respond to people? I'd just love to hear your thoughts on that.
Oh, I have tons of backlash every day.
All of us. Don't go read my comment section, bro.
I have criticisms both from the Christian side, I would say religious Christians, and from, you know, leaving the lifestyle of the queer community. But a lot of it is about like what I look like. But as I said in a video before, just like in 1 Samuel, when the Lord told the prophet Samuel to anoint a new king, he said, do not look at the outer appearance, look at the heart. I know that I've been transformed in my heart. And so what we have to do is look for the heart. And the lifestyle is indicative and reflective of the heart. You have to look at the fruit that people have. There are people literally at my church whose mannerisms have changed. Certain aspects haven't changed. But we know that their heart has changed and they're bearing fruit in our church. And how do I deal with it and respond to it? I don't.
It's good.
I'm working on being just like Jesus, who was put and accused when he was on trial, and he didn't say anything. So the Lord is my vindicator. As our pastor says, like, even my reputation can become an idol. It's the perceived image of myself.
Come on.
I do not care what people think about me. I only care about what God thinks about me. And if there's any issues or things that need to be corrected, you are not on my speed dial, but my pastor's on. So my pastors will let me know. They're all on my phone.
I love that.
So, yeah, that's what I would say to that. Look at the heart. And I think that goes back to maybe people thinking that the homosexuality is this big thing. And so they perceive it as a worser like sin or whatever. People need to look at the heart.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, bro, listen, I have people criticizing me constantly the way you preach, you're shouting, you're breathing, you're sweating, you're this. I'm just like, bro, I wish I cared. When I say I couldn't care less, think about what I'm saying. I literally couldn't care less. I wish I could care, but I don't. And I think if you do, you'd never survive being a preacher. You never survive, especially being an influencer on social media. In fact, Paul's like, I wouldn't be able to be a Christian if I was worried about what people thought about me. I wouldn't be a slave of Christ. And so I say, man, that's amazing. Keep doing what you're doing. For people that are comment warriors, couch prophets, Facebook theologians, they're on the couch, you're outreaching souls. That's what I always think. When people are in the comments like, oh, you should do this, you should do that, I'm like, you don't do anything. So you're telling me what I should do. I'm on here live. We're over here preaching for it's an hour and 20 minutes in. Souls are getting saved. People are being transformed. Literally every word that's come out of your mouth has been the Bible, the local church, and Jesus. To me, like, if anybody has anything negative to say, go somewhere else. I tell people, go cry somewhere else. I don't know what to say. Go cry. You're going to get muted in like 3 seconds anyway, but I tell people, go cry somewhere else, because we're out here doing the work, putting in the labor, and you're just typing on your couch, on your keyboard. It's like, man, we got to go out and do the work. People that are out doing the work don't have the time, energy, or desire to criticize the other people. It's like, I don't even have time. What do you think about this preacher? It's like, bro, I honestly don't have time to watch his stuff because I'm out trying to preach myself. I'm out trying to do the work. I mean, as long as Jesus is being preached, and he's like, Paul says, even if the motives are wrong, as long as Christ is being preached, that's the goal. So Yeah, I love that, man. I love that. Yeah. Okay, last question. Last question. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you did.
Okay.
You have one more question.
Here we go. Last question. I'll mix these together because I have a whole list, and we're already overtime here. And Angela said, Isaiah, every one of your podcasts is overtime. Amen. We live in overtime on the podcast here. Okay, I'll put two questions into one. How have we failed as a church, as Christians, as Isaiah Saldivar, how have we failed, and be honest with us, ministering to the LG and all that community, and how can we do a better job at reaching people? You're obviously out of that lifestyle, out of that community. The Lord's brought you out by his grace, but how are we failing, and how can we do a better job? How can we do a better job reaching people?
Yeah, I've heard it put that in order for these people to leave their way of life and leave their lifestyle and leave the community that they've known to be accepting, we have to become that community for them that is accepting and loving. And so we need to become the actual body of Christ. We need to embody the acts of the apostle. We need to have a church that is filled with the Holy Spirit and that allows people to be led by the Holy Spirit and for them to be discipled and journey together with people. And then we need people to help them walk through the Bible, because the Bible, it says that every word of God is good for teaching and correcting and all the things. So like the Spirit of God, and you get to learn God's nature and his character through his word. I love the word. Like, you talk about not having time to like respond to people. I'm just like, I need to read my Bible. I need to study myself approve. I'm going through like V1 college now with my church and just learning how to be a better leader. And just because now like I have souls attached to me, which is that's what the Lord wants. He told Peter to go feed my sheep, to go save souls, to go save the lost. So, you know, everything that has happened with my virality and everything good that you see in me is only because of God. It's not because of me, but I my life is not my own. And I think when you have a good community that helps foster that, and helps see and grow things in you that maybe you don't see in yourself. Like Pastor Eddie was the first one who told me to go lead a connect group at my church. I was like, why are you calling me? I'm like the ex-gay. I'm like going through stuff. Why am I leading this group? I did not want to do it. You know what I'm saying? But I think when you're around of a community that helps journey with you, helps disciple you, walk through the words and the text, and just really encourage you, because that's what the body of Christ is supposed to be, especially for a believer to believer. Yes, we can correct and all the things are rebuke, but Paul talks about what is going to be remembered is how we love each other. So we're called to love and encourage and uplift and edify the body of Christ. When you don't see the fruit of that worked out, then you'll see people walking away, turning from church and all the things. People can go through their church hurt and also not be open to the process. You know, people not being vulnerable and be like, oh, like I can't, you know, at some point you got to trust the church and church the pastor, because he's been appointed by God. You know, you have to be a part of a covering. I think the church, instead of necessarily seeing the outward appearance, just having the eyes of the Lord and looking with compassion, speaking with truth and love, and then just journeying with them. So that's what I will say.
Yeah, I think that if we look at like the LG community and all that, and to me, the broad church in America, let's just say, treats them as if they have leprosy. And look at the way Jesus dealt with people that had leprosy. When everybody else was saying, we're not going to touch them, we're not going to go near them, they had to literally yell unclean when they walked around. We treat them like lepers. And the way Jesus treated lepers was he healed them. He laid hands on them. He spent time with them. No one else would do that. And Jesus is like, I'm not afraid of their sin. I'm not afraid, because this is why, if you guys don't know why people didn't want to go around lepers, is they were afraid that what was on them would get on them and make them sick. Jesus goes, I'm not worried that what's on you is going to get on me. I know that what's in me is going to get on you. And so when I get around lepers, I'm not going to get sick. They're going to get healed. And I think we need to do that with the same thing with the LG community, is saying, hey, I know what's in me. I got the Lord in me. I'm not afraid of your sin. People say like, Isaiah, you're homophobic. I'm like, I'm not scared of your sin. I'm not afraid of what's going on in your life. God can deliver. God can heal. I've seen him do it before. He's going to do it again. We're going to love you through this. I had a girl in my church. I senior pastored for 10 years. And this girl for months was in our church, second row, shouting me down, excited, all of this stuff every single week. And I'm like, who is this girl? We need to find out this girl. She shouted me down. turns out it was one of my sister's friends from work who is a complete lesbian, complete living girl, had a girlfriend, everything like that. And I sat there and she came up to me with tears in her eye after maybe 3 months of being involved in the church. Tears in her eye, I said, Isaiah, you never once judged me. You never once this. You guys never condemned me. You never hated on me. You love me. And because of your love, because of your acceptance of, hey, God can set you free. God can deliver you. We're not going to hit you over the head with the Bible. She's like, I know that the lifestyle I'm living, you didn't ever even preach on homosexuality in the 3 months I've been here, but I know that the lifestyle I'm living is not of God. I'm convicted. I broke up with my girlfriend. I'm turning from that lifestyle. I want to fully surrender to God. She was a part of our church for years. And it wasn't, you know, hitting her over the head and saying, homosexuals are going to go to hell. And this, like, it's all the sin, right? God wants to deliver. God wants to cleanse. God wants to heal. And I think love is the one thing the devil doesn't have a defense for. He could defend arguing, anger, bitterness. But when you love somebody, the devil doesn't know what to do. Love covers and conquers a multitude of sin. So I think you're right about it. We do need to love people where they're at and say, hey, God doesn't want you to stay where you're at. He wants to change you and deliver you and heal you. That's the message of love. God wants you to change, and God, let me rephrase it. God doesn't want you to change. God wants to change you because it's actually his power. I didn't change. Mm-hmm. The Lord changed my mind, changed my heart, renewed me. And that's what it was. So I think you're spot on with that.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit does the work, you know, like we have to trust the Holy Spirit that God, he knows what he's doing because he's the savior.
Absolutely.
But we still want to disciple people and say, hey, we're going to call you up, but the Holy Spirit will do the work because I didn't do anything.
Come on.
I can tell you that.
It's good. So, let's do this. Amen. Before we end, Richard, I want to, after I have you pray, we're going to tell people where they can find you. And can we also shout out, this man came on here with two camera angles. I've been doing this show for 5 years. We're on episode 181, and we have never, most people get on their phone all janky and blurry. You're over here with two camera angles in a professional studio. Bro, you came in, I was loving it. When you were switching angles, I'm like, how is it we've had 181 episodes and no one, come on, Demon Slayer guys, you ain't never come with two camera angles. Where are y'all at? But I love that. It's awesome. But let's have you say a prayer for people. I want to say a special prayer for people living that lifestyle that God would bring them out. And I also want all of you in the chat, there's a lot of you in here that have family members in that lifestyle. I want you to pray for them while he's praying. Pray for your family member that's in that lifestyle that God will bring them out because God can save everybody. God can save anybody. There's no one, if you're like, well, they're too far. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. Too far, too dark, too bound. None of those exist in God's vocabulary. His arm is not short. His arm is not weak. His ear is not deaf. His eyes are not blind. He can save them right now as we pray. So do something crazy. Have some faith. And believe that God can do the impossible. And I'm believing that the Lord's going to save that family member out of that lifestyle. We have people in our own family, in my close, close family that are living this lifestyle. I'm like, Lord, you can save them. I don't even look at them as anything different. Like, hey, they're just like my family members that are addicted to drugs that I'm praying that the Lord saves. He can save them. He can do it. I was an atheist and God saved me. So God can save them, you know? So let's pray with that faith as Richard leads us, guys. Let's pray for our friends and family that are in that lifestyle. And if you're in that lifestyle, God can bring you out. God loves you. God wants to deliver you and heal you and wash you and set you free from that.
Yes, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for this time. God, I thank you for everyone here, God. And I pray, God, that people get a revelation of your love and that they get a revelation that you want them. I thank you, God, that you want them and that you've known them. And that you've created them for such a unique and special purpose. God, I thank you that you've caused us to be set apart and chosen, holy and consecrated. There are many of us who are looking to be chosen, to be the one. But you are the one through Jesus Christ, God. God, I thank you and I pray that they get a revelation that your word is better. God's word is better. The Father's word is better than anything that this world has to offer. You've been trying to be seen. You've been trying to be defined. You've been trying to be accepted. And people have accused you. People have just bullied you. And you've been an outcast. But God speaks a better word because his son died for you and his blood speaks a better word above everything on this earth. And I just pray, God, that the Holy Spirit comes in and fills them and that they get a beautiful encounter of you, God, that you are real and that you see them, God. We thank you that you are El Roy, the God who sees. And I thank you, God, that you are wrapping them around with your love and that you are embracing them. And all you have to do is open and cry out to the Father. And the Father's love is better than anything that you could ever think, ask, or imagine. I thank you, God, that you love them in their soul to the very depths. I thank you that you are better than whatever desire or attraction or temptation that they have, that you are better than any man, that you are better than any woman, that you are better than any hurtful father, that you've been better than any hurtful mother, and that you see them, and that your love covers all their sin. And God, we thank you that the love of Christ breaks all shame and condemnation and guilt. And we thank you that the blood of Jesus Christ allows us to be justified and that they are now declared righteous and holy, God. So I pray that they open up their mouths and you can just begin opening up your mouths to cry out to the Lord and say, Father, I confess you as my Lord and Savior, and I believe in my heart and I give you my life. Come and be the Lord and Master of my life, and I thank you. So God, I thank you for souls being won, God, in this time. And for people who are away, I just want to thank you for those prodigals, God. And I thank you that if anyone has this resistance or fear of the Father, I just want to encourage and pray that the Father's arms are open wide and he's smiling at you. And he is so thankful that you are alive, and he's so thankful that he wants to be with you. And when you just start to run, he is there to embrace you, and he has a celebration for you. Bring out the party, bring out the horns and the trumpets and the drums. He's so madly in love with you. You could never imagine a love like this, but it is yours. It is yours. So I thank you, God, that you are bringing prodigals home, that everyone that has been wayward, you are allowing, allowing your Holy Spirit to turn them, God, to you, a complete 180, God, to turn around, to run back to the Father's arms and to feel that embrace, God. So I thank you. Let your Holy Spirit continue to do the work of sanctification, of deliverance, and God, continue to allow them to be washed. For you were red as crimson, but now you are white as wool. You are as red as scarlet, but now you are white as snow. For the Lord sees you and sees himself, and he is so happy and pleased with you being an image bearer, a reflection of Christ, called for such a time as this to raise up and to reflect the goodness of God. So we thank you and we honor you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Such a good prayer. And all I could say is, the devil lost another one. I love this testimony. I love your story. There's so much for you, man. God has raised you up for such time as this. I keep hearing that the whole time we've been interviewing. I keep hearing that from Esther, for such a time as this, for such a time as this. You're in this moment in human history, Richard, to reach people, to reach the lost at any cost. And I see you as a no limit soldier. I will go to bat for you any day. I love what God is doing in your life. There's such a glow about you, such an anointing on you. Angela, Nayla, Pastor Mike, all of you in the chat that have been supporting. We love you guys. We appreciate you guys. I mean, this man showed up, came with two camera angles. Thank you so much for putting in all the energy, the time and work. Where can they find you? We didn't even talk about your viral journey. We could probably went 2-3 hours, but where can they find you to plug in with you? TikTok, Instagram, just shout out your pages, your podcast, so they can get plugged in.
Yeah. So, my ministry, or God's ministry, is called Redemption, Two E's with One. And so you can look that up on all my socials. My personal is Rich with Passion. You can look that up as well. So I have a podcast called Redemption. I do weekly podcasts there. And I am, what else am I doing? Right now I'm just, you know, on a journey of speaking. So if you want to support and donate, please do.
Come on. Hey, it's a struggle out here. I know, brother. I know.
Please. I'm actually also unemployed currently because I got fired for talking about Jesus and being an ex-gay, but that's okay. The Lord is my vindicator. And so I am also opening up a community soon, in the next week or this week or next week. I'm opening up a community platform for people to plug into. where we're just having more access to me, Bible studies, things of that nature. We can do dance tutorials since I dance and all the things, you know, answering questions, walking and journeying with people who are coming out of the lifestyle or people who have questions. So stay tuned for that to be open. But any other information, you can click on my link tree and just see what else I'm doing. And you can sign up for my newsletter. I think Isaiah has that below in the description. You can sign up for that to know what I'm doing. So that's that. Awesome. Product race.
Awesome. Everything's down below, guys, in the description. We're going to stay on a little bit longer and take up an offering to sow into him. But thank you so much, Richard, for being on tonight. I'll stay on and take up an offering and send you something tonight. But thank you, bro, so much for being on. What a powerful testimony. Have an amazing night. Thank you, bro. Bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you, man. Thank you so much. We'll talk soon. I'll text you right after the stream.
Okay.
All right. God bless. All right. Listen, y'all, let's sow. Let's put our money where our mouth is. I'm going to sow into him. I'm going to be sending whatever comes in tonight, and then I'm going to be giving out of my own finances into his ministry. Let's bless him. This is what we're not going to do. I am not going to allow people to come out of these lifestyles, come out of these communities, and then not support them when God raises them up and uses them. So it's good ground. He literally got fired for preaching and sharing about Jesus at his job and being a Christian and his testimony. It offends people. How many of you know the ruler of this world is not happy? And I know some of you are like, why is the views down? Why is there only 1,500 people on? Guys, do you guys not know how the world we live in works? Do you think that this stream is going to get promoted in the algorithms on YouTube, on Facebook? Of course not. Is this stream shadow banned? Of course it is. Look at the title. The companies that we, in the world we live in, they're going to promote these type of titles, but we're going to do this unapologetically. It doesn't matter how many views it gets. There's 1,300 of us in here now. Let's all do something. If it's $1 each person, if it's $5 each person, doesn't matter. Let's sow where you grow. If you are blessed tonight, I don't have to give my whole spiel. All the links are there. If you're not a monthly partner, pray about becoming one. You can do that on isaiahsaldivar.com/partner. But I want to send him a love offering tonight. So let's give generously. Let's give generously. All right. It's not the time. A lot of people get saved, but their wallet never gets saved. Like, we need to be generous. The Bible over and over and over talks about this. I have entire videos on how the Bible talks about sowing into ministries. He's out doing the work. He's unemployed. Let's bless him. All right. Let's bless him. So where do I give? It's all on screen, y'all. I'm glad you asked. It's all on screen. You can give on isaiahsaldivar.com/partner, Venmo, PayPal, Zelle, Cash App. You can mail something. You can send a pigeon, which I have one actually, by the way, right here. You can send a pigeon with a little check to Isaiah Saldivar. We're going to get it worked out. Send a dove. Don't matter. Let's sow into what God is doing. Appreciate all of you giving. Jared and Candace will be live in 5 or 10 minutes doing worship and prayer. So we will have an after show. But sow where you grow. And yeah, Angela also has an extended interview with him on her podcast, Heaven and Healing Podcast. Check it out. It's awesome. It's good. Pastor Mike had him on with Nyla and Angela, Nyla. I don't know. I say it different every single time. Sorry, sister. I love you so much. But it's all there. It's all there. Great stuff. Bring on the community platform. Amen. Let's go. So there you go. What'd you guys think about it tonight? There was a lot of people banned tonight. All right. And I just want you to know, we're not going to miss you, all right? I just want all of you that were banned tonight to know that we're not going to miss you. You're going to be better on somebody else's page. You're going to be better on somebody else's stream. This is not the place for you. If you got banned acting crazy, saying dumb stuff, I'm just going to assume that you're 12 years old or you're 10 years old. If you're acting like a child, I'm just going to assume you are a child and you're banned. So Zelle is IsaiahLukeSaldivar@yahoo.com. IsaiahLukeSaldivar@yahoo.com. Read my comment, please. I am Jesus. What is your comment? I was bisexual, then Christ saved me and transformed me. Amen. Let's go. I missed a stream where people banned. Oh, yeah. Plenty were. My mods are so fast, though. I don't even get to see their comments. It's just instant. But yeah. Sorry, not sorry. Sounds just like a prosperity preacher. Well, praise the Lord that you're a grown adult and nobody's forcing you to be here. Praise the Lord that you can just click off. Isn't God good? Isn't it great being an adult where you could... just, if you don't like the stream and you don't like when people ask to give, you just don't have to. It's crazy, huh? What's crazy is not only do you not have to watch, but you don't even have to give. That's the beautiful thing, is all of our content is free. So you could be here, not give anything, be angry about it, and still enjoy the content, and other people will give for you. Praise them. You get to watch for free and be angry and not have to give, and you don't miss anything. You don't miss on anything. get your camera shot game up. Amen. He came with two angles. I love it. You should make a Christian rock band. Probably not. I love when people are like, I don't want to give. I'm like, then don't. If you don't sow, you won't reap. So keep your empty basket. Keep having no harvest, shaking your fist at a field, being like, why is there no fruit? Well, you're not sowing anything. So that's why there's no fruit. Beckett Cook, I haven't. I'll look up who that is. I haven't heard of Beckett Cook. But yeah, it's just so funny. It's like, stop crying. Stop crying. All you have to do is just, hey, when we ask to give, just tune out. Tune out. And anyways, people complain, never give anyway. So they don't give at their church. They don't give here. They don't give anywhere. They just complain. I don't ever meet givers that are complainers, that complain about people asking to give. I don't get offended when anybody asks to give. You want to know why? Because I'm a giver. That's why. When people are like, hey, we need you to give to the fund at the church. All right, let's get on the church app. Let's give. Never mad. I've never been once. I've been saved 13 years, and I've sat through thousands of church services. Never been mad. Well, actually, I was mad one time when I was at a conference and some lady said, you need to sow $1,000 for your prophetic word. That time I was mad because that's abusive and demonic and not God. But all the other times people ask to give, every Sunday my church asks to give, guess what I do? I give. Nayla, I got you. I got you. I knew it was Nayla. Angela told me it was Nayla. I knew it was Nayla. I've said Nayla. I've had you on my show a bunch of times. We're friends. I don't know. You know, the devil lied to me. Not Angela. Angela's not the devil, but you know, I don't know. My mind couldn't process it. All these names. Angela must have told me to pronounce it that way. I don't know. I don't know who it was. Who knows? All right. Yeah, no worries. If you can't afford it and if you have no money in the bank, don't give. It's no big deal. You don't even need to apologize. It's totally cool. We'd love you either way. We'll have another awesome guest on next week. Another awesome guest on the week after. Angela said, no, I'm just kidding. It wasn't Angela. I don't know who it was. Maybe it was Carl. We have another awesome guest on the week after. We're on episode 181, guys. That's a lot of episodes, a lot of guests, a lot of interviews. Pray for your boy. Pray for your boy. I'm trying my best to keep it fresh, keep it going. Okay? We're hanging on. We're hanging on the ship through the storms, the ups and downs. All right, you know, bearing false witness to me. That's how it is with all the stuff. None of us are on a salary where it's up, it's down. Sometimes I don't even want to open the app. I don't even want to look at the income. I don't even want to look at the subs. I don't even want to look at the live views. It's just, we're just riding on. We're just going with Jesus. Some days they love you. Some days they hate you. Some days you're the flavor of the month. Some days nobody cares about you. Sometimes the views are crazy. Sometimes the views are terrible. Who knows? Who knows? It's just up and down. We just got to stay with Christ. I had one of your haters make a video on me. Which one? I have a bunch. This is what my uncle always told me. Haters are elevators. Free promotion. So it's all good. I hope, by the way, I have a book coming out in November called How to Cast Out Demons. I hope that all the heresy hunters, actually, in fact, here's the thing. All of you heresy hunters and people that can't stand me, that hate me, let me make sure that we just have, hold on. I need to get a full view camera angle here. All right, hold on. All the heresy hunters that hate me and make videos bad about me, please buy this book. Buy the book. Read the entire book. Do a review about how much you don't like it and how unbiblical it is. Please, I need the promotion. So please, heresy hunters, I'll send you the file of the picture. I'll even send you a copy if you want. All the haters, please make a video about it. Please tell your audience not to buy it so that it'll get people to buy it. We need all the promotion we can get. Hi, Jenny Weaver. How are you? So yeah, all the heresy hunters, please buy it and make videos about it and say how bad I am and how Isaiah's a heretic because he believes. And you know what? There's an entire chapter about Christians having demons that you guys would love to rip apart. So please do that. Do a long review. Make sure that you show the name in the Amazon for free promotion. Thank you. All right. Jared and Candace, you guys can go live at any moment. You're aging backwards. Thank you. Maybe it's lighting. No, I'm starting to see, you know, the little wrinkles here, wrinkles on my forehead. I never wear sunglasses ever, so I have, like, you know, wrinkles on my forehead. It's all good. I don't mind it. I like it. I like the wrinkles. I like getting old. It's great, you know? The back pain, the neck pain, it's all part of the package. No Botox here, all right? No Botox here. You crack me up. I meant to say crack me up, and I said crap me up. I think I need to get off now. Crack me up. Thank you. Thank you, Nayla. Thank you, Sister Nayla. Sister Nayla. Don't leave. I love this part of the lives. Well, where I just make jokes and laugh. I'm not lying, though. I do have back and neck pain. Oh, help me, Lord. Yeah, Jared and Candace's stream. I'll post it for those of you on Facebook. If you're on Facebook still, I mean, what are you honestly doing with your life? If you're on Facebook still, you're probably asleep by now. You know, if you know, you know. But yeah, get off Facebook. Get on YouTube. Dude doesn't have a single gray hair. I don't. I actually don't have any gray hair. Oh, I will be recording. Yes, if you're asking about the audiobook, it'll be my voice. I'm going to read it and be like, I'm going to make a special voice. Like, chapter 2, Christians can have demons. I'm going to do it like that. So, no, I'm just kidding. I'm going to read it normal. But yeah, it's going to be fun. Too much pickleball. I mean, I did play for a few hours today. I'm not going to lie, y'all. I'm getting pretty good. I'm not going to lie. I'm not even being arrogant or prideful or anything, but your boy's getting pretty good. Let's just... Jared's in the chat. He'll testify. I played really good today.
Good evening. Welcome.
Jared's live now. All right. That's my cue. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. If you're on... What is it? I don't know. If your auto plays on, it'll automatically redirect you. Here's where we're going. I am reading the audiobook, though. All jokes aside. All right, love you guys. I'm going to go have dinner with my family. Late dinner. Love you guys. Salute. We'll see you guys soon. I love you all. Thanks for supporting the channel and showing up. You guys are awesome. No, you're not going to beat me in pickleball. Sorry to say it. None of you in here are going to beat me in pickleball. Love you guys. See ya. Go to Jared's stream now. Bye. Love you guys. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content, and please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.